You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
We're live, pal.
Hey, we're live, pal. Welcome, everyone, to a Tuesday edition of the A-Side Live Chat. I'm sure we have fewer live watchers this time because it's a Tuesday, not a Wednesday. I'll explain that in a second, but I hope everyone has had a great New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Christmas, and all that jazz, if you didn't join us last week. But we are doing this Tuesday because I have to drive to start my quarantine before I catch my flight to Fight Island. So I'll be going back to Fight Island. We'll talk about that later for the three fight cards in 7 days. So I won't be around tomorrow, so we decided to bump it up today. We should be back normal time next week, depending on... No, we'll have a media day or press conference or whatever on this Wednesday, but to be determined. But anyway, joining me this week is Alex Savas and Casey Lydon in sunny. Is it sunny over there in California? I'm just assuming.
Yeah, overcast.
Overcast, California. It's overcast here too, but I digress. Alex, how's life? How has 2021 treated you so far?
Oh, it's about the same. It was kind of a rough week. Yesterday, we had to take the cats to the vet for their routine vaccination, and it was just a disaster with the COVID protocol. Like, you can't go into the vet's office with them, so you have to drop them off, and it's like dropping off your little babies at kindergarten. It just breaks my heart. I really hated it, but all's good. All's good. We're good.
All is well in the Savas. What's PJ's last name? Higgins? Higgins Savas household. Casey, how's life in Englewood? Is it up to good still?
Yeah, dude. Like I said, I'm saying this from the beginning. Once we hit January 1st, everything goes back to normal. We all knew this. It wasn't the election. It was January 1st. Things are back to normal. Oh. Everything's good. Yeah, man. Had a super good New Year's Eve. Stayed home, watched movies. It was awesome. Watched Soul, which ruled.
Still haven't seen it.
So good. And then I saw freaking Wrestle Kingdom last night.
Yeah, live. Dude. I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Oh, dude.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom. We'll talk about Ryzen. We'll talk about all the Japanese MMA professional wrestling you guys want to talk about. But you guys know the drill. You can ask whatever question you want in the chat. You can ask whatever question you want on Twitter. Hell, you could even text me because that's happened before. But Casey, what is our first question for my lovely listeners?
First question.
From strike.mx, so strikemxnyc on Twitter. Will there be a press conference for McGregor Poirier 2? Seems like the hype level for this, in your opinion. Hashtag the A side. I assume so. I'm not sure. We haven't gotten any sort of fight week schedule or anything, but they had one for the Habib Gaethje card. They had one for the Adesanya Costa Reyes Blachowicz fight card. So I'm assuming there will be one for McGregor Poirier. I'm also willing to bet Michael Chandler, Dan Hooker will be there too. And I'm also willing to bet we'll get Cater and Holloway, maybe even Magny and Chiesa. If I'm the UFC, I try to just do one big press conference the week, because I have to get there a week early. So for that, those first 7 days of nothing, once we can leave quarantine, I would just do a press conference with all those guys or everyone outside of McGregor and Poirier if you want to save those guys, because it's three fight cards in 7 days. So that's three weigh-ins, three media days. I don't know if the fans are going to be there or not yet. So I don't know what the media day situation is going to be like or weigh-in situation is going to be like. So I just try to do one big press conference like they used to do. But that's just me. What would you guys like to see? Casey, I'll start with you because you're going to be probably streaming everything with me.
What I'd like to see as far as what? Sorry.
Would you like to see the big press conference with everyone? You want them to hold, you know?
Nah. Well, they're not gonna do the everyone thing. There's just gonna be too many. It's gonna have space protocols, I bet. I mean, yeah, I'd rather just have each main event, guys. And but as far as like the hype, I'm just interested to see Conor with zero fans, like how that reacts. You know, like him doing some weird thing across the stage. You know, it's weird for no crowd, but all right.
I'm curious how many if they allow any fans in general.
Remember that one press conference in New York after McGregor got in all that trouble? They didn't allow the fans in there.
The dark one.
Yeah, it was weird. No, I'd be shocked if Dana didn't do a press conference for McGregor. But I don't think it's going to have like the level of excitement that people are expecting. I mean, because it's Poirier, like what? There's not going to be a lot of like disgusting.
It's going to be like the McGregor Cowboy one minus the fans, mm-hmm. because remember Conor was on like his best behavior, and Dana would shut down every single difficult question presented to Conor. So I have a feeling it's going to be like that.
Oh, I think it's going to be the.
There is a press conference, that is.
There'll be a press conference, but they might be the best behavior just because they want to make sure this fight happens. It's yeah. It's going to be weird.
I still don't, because people have asked me, I don't know what the fan situation is going to be like. I don't know if fans are going to be there. I don't know what the bubble is. I have no idea until I get there. Or they'll probably tell us next week.
Man. It'd be interesting how the fans will react. Like, are they going to be just... I don't know. Yeah. Are they going to be crazy? If they're fans, is it going to be just everyone's there for Conor, even in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah.
Or just seat fillers.
Yeah. All right.
Giving seats away. Joseph Boza in the YouTube comments. Thoughts on Dane's obsession with Leon Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev needing to happen? So, yes, Khamzat Chimaev still had COVID, was recovering from a bout of COVID. Leon Edwards was also recovering from COVID. This fight was supposed to happen on that. Was it the Wednesday card? Yeah, the Wednesday card. Khamzat got pulled this time. It was Leon the first time. It was Khamzat the second time. And they had Magny Chiesa, so Magny could have got the bump. According to Mike Heck's interview with Michael Chiesa, apparently that's coming out. Chiesa thought that once Khamzat got pulled out, they were going to take the Magny fight away from him. Didn't happen because apparently Dana really wants Leon Edwards versus Khamzat Chimaev. What are your guys' thoughts on this fight? Should the UFC have just booked the Magny, Leon Edwards Magny fight? Or what do you think about them just saving this fight in general for the third time?
Well, I think Mr. Bose is correct here. Like, it is a weird obsession that Dana has with this fight now. Maybe he's like, I'm going to show the media, like, I can pick random names and make him fight no matter what, you know, maybe this is the new Habib versus Ferguson. I don't know. Maybe we need a new one to start. It's weird. I thought Chimaev should have, well, I guess he was sick. Maybe that's why he couldn't fight in the States couple weeks ago for the original Edwards fight.
Or maybe.
Yeah, I just want this fight. I don't know. Dana's weird. That's my thought.
Yeah, I also think Khamzat Chimaev being Leon Edwards is a guaranteed title shot, I think, because Khamzat is his guy right now. We've seen this a million times where he's putting a rocket ship on him. So Khamzat hasn't even fought a real welterweight yet, and he's already ranked. You beat Leon Edwards, you're going to fight for the title.
It's still a hard fight for Leon Edwards, because Leon Edwards smashes Chimaev. We're just going to go, oh, Chimaev was overrated. If Chimaev smashes Edwards, we're going to like, oh, Chimaev should definitely fight for the title. You
know, so yeah, when I say Chimaev,
sorry.
When I say Edwards Chimaev is for a title shot, I'm not talking about Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That's so sad.
It's very sad. But if he beats Chimaev, I wouldn't like, if they want to book Edwards, like if in the scenario where Leon Edwards beats, if he beats Chimaev, like Wonderboy's out there, Colby Covington's out there, Masvidal's out there. Who knows, man? But it's a weird time in the world where both of these guys train overseas, so it's going to be difficult with protocols going forward anyway.
When do we think this fight's happening? Does it happen by this summer?
Yeah.
Do you think it still happen?
I'd say
so. He seems pretty determined to get this done. If there's anything we don't want to do is bet against Dana White.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah.
If this happens again, if Chimaev pulls out again, then I imagine they'll just book another fight for Leon. This time, they don't want to. That'd be the third time this fight falls apart.
Yeah, this reminds me of I don't want to say it. I was thinking Charles Oliver and Nick Lentz trilogy. That actually happened. That was
Hey man, we still got that banner of the Charles Oliver Jim Miller trilogy we could book. Let's not forget, those fights are 1-1 too.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Boza. Here we got actually a Look at this big old question. So,
good God.
So I broke it up into three parts, but this is from all our right. website. So
Tristan Gordet, probably, right? Yep.
Yeah, but you wrote a full-on thesis for us. I like it.
At MMA Fighting, what were your thoughts on Kyoji Horiguchi's win over Kaiya Sakura this past week at Ryzen 26? Did you think it was premature as far as the stoppage goes or a good call? Also, would you like to see Horiguchi back in the UFC again? I think he can make a run at the UFC bantamweight division, especially the fact he's been considered the best fighter on the ATT roster. I didn't watch it live. I watched the replay. Casey, you watched it live, correct?
Yeah, I watched it live.
What did you think of the stoppage? Just real
fine.
Quick.
It was fine. Yeah.
I had no issues with the stoppage.
It was fine. Asakura's head was kind of just – he had the glassy-eyed look going. I don't think there were issues. Yeah, sure, we wanted him to be out cold, you know, because I think, you know, you always want that definitive knockout, but that's why we have TKOs.
That's why we have refs, man, so you don't get those violent knockouts. Would you like to see Horiguchi back in the UFC?
No. Why, man? We can fight once a year, you know? It's like, no, dude. Have him fight over there. Have him fight big shows. He's still fights in Bellator. You know, they're going to do that thing eventually. So, no, of course not.
I don't really care if he goes to the UFC or not. I like him in Ryzen, but if you want, like, I'm not going to say no to watching Horiguchi versus Yan or Horiguchi versus Figueiredo. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
So yeah, I just want to see Horiguchi fight. I don't care how many sides of the damn cage there are. As long as he's happy. As long as the Gooch is happy. Have you seen this video? I've been sharing those videos with him just laughing. Have you seen this?
Yeah. He's a very nice – he's also a fisherman in MMA.
He is the cutest laugh. He is the cutest laugh in MMA. Pound for pound, cutest laugh. I love it.
Yeah, you know that video you put together, Alex, of like the best moments of 2020. You could probably, if Horiguchi is active, you can make a full on video of just him.
How about him and Amanda Hibas?
Yeah. Oh man, they both train at ATT.
I love it.
That's a lot of positivity inside that building.
Get him in a room, and I guess like.
And I know Gregor Gillespie. I know Gregor Gillespie also always claims best fisherman in MMA. I think it's Horiguchi.
It's Horiguchi. Everyone knows that. I mean, we everyone's polite to Gregor. Like, sure, Gregor, you're the best, but we all know.
Well, to be fair, Gregor Gillespie, when he wanted to clarify, I can't remember the exact. There's very specific types of fishing, like freshwater, like saltwater, like fly fishing, this and that. He had a very specific type of fishing. He goes, I am the best. This there might be a better. Of a different type of fishing, but I am the best at this. So I don't know what type of fishing he does, and I don't know what type of fishing Horiguchi does. But I say, instead of fighting, they just have a fisherman off. Three different types of fishing. One in Horiguchi's world, one in Greg Gillespie's world, and one neutral.
But see, and
make it happen.
But see, Dana White, cross-promotion. Come on, see, that's the problem, man. Like these promoters, they're not letting the big fisherman fights happen.
Yeah, right.
Yes, man, that's all we want in 2021.
Listen, if you're going to justify the cost of rising pay-per-view prices, at least throw in some fishing. You know, we got to get something.
What do you think we're paying for?
Right.
A betting tackle ain't free.
No.
What was Horiguchi's last fight before this? I know he hurt his knee.
It was the knock. He lost.
It's when he lost.
It was his loss last year to Kai.
Yeah, what month was that?
Oh, 2 years ago. He's been out for 2 years?
The voice off camera. Yeah. I was going to say, who fought more recently before this past week? Like before Horiguchi's fight against before Asakura and Horiguchi, who fought sooner, Horiguchi or Gregor Gillespie? Because Gregor Gillespie fought in that MSG card at UFC 244. I'm assuming it's him then. I didn't know if Horiguchi had a fight between them. Anyway, we move on. What was the next part of Tristan Gordet's thesis? Were media and fans as skeptical as Zhang Weili and her rise catapulted her in a title shot and winning it as they were with Khamzat Chimaev and his instant rise to possible stardom? Remember, it only took Weili 3 fights to earn a title shot. I think it caught me by surprise when she got her first title fight. She obviously, when she beat, was it Tisha? When she beat Tisha Torres, I thought she was legit. I knew she was legit, but I was surprised because at the time when she got the title fight, wasn't she like, I don't know, sixth or fifth? And there was other fights that we wanted, there were other fights that we assumed would happen. But then when they announced the Zhang Weili the Andrade Wiley fight in China. I remember Casey was surprised. I was surprised. Alex, were you surprised?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us really. Well, I'd be surprised if I wasn't surprised at any, you know, fight announcements. But the thing is, like, Zhang Weili had a lot more fights under her belt than Khamzat does. So I think we've seen a lot more from her, and we've seen more dimensions of her than we've seen of Khamzat Chimaev so far.
Yeah, she was 16-1 when she made her UFC debut. Beat Danielle Taylor, who is probably an atomweight. Beat Jessica Aguilar.
Dude, she destroyed Jessica Aguilar. That was the fight when I was like, oh my God, this woman is a beast.
And Aguilar, I think her best days were behind her, unfortunately, when she made the UFC. She also had that bad knee injury or something, didn't she?
Yeah, but right away. But what impressed me in that fight is Zhang, because I thought of her as a strong stand-up fighter, but she destroyed Aguilar on the ground. So I was like,
whoa. And then she beat Tisha. So, yeah, she was 3-0 in 1 year, less than a year, and then got the title fight in China. So I don't remember what she was ranked. I remember thinking, I remember we were talking about, like, maybe one more win, get a title fight, but then when they announced it, I didn't hate it.
It was one of those timing is everything fights. You could tell it was like, oh, it's just because of the way the Beijing card lined up and everything with Andrade's health, well, not health, but she was healthy, but like the way the fighter schedules were.
And then just made sense. I remember going down the list. I know we want people thought the Joanna fight probably because she beat Andrade already, so maybe do the rematch for her first defense. The Rose fight, Rose was taking time off. And then there were a few other ones that, like, Andrade had already beat or already had fights. So going down the list, it was, like, Joanna or Wiley were, like, the only two available. And I assumed it would be Joanna. But they did Wiley, and the rest is history. It doesn't matter in the end because she won fair and square.
Did you watch it? I didn't even watch that fight. I remember I fell asleep on the couch, and then like, Esther just hit me. She's like, main event. I was like, oh, right, I missed the main event. And she's like, oh, it's done. I'm like, what?
I remember because I had to stay up to do the graphics and stuff for that fight. So I watched, I get that one and the Blades and Ganu fight card mixed up because they were both in Beijing. I don't remember if they were both in Beijing, but they were both in China. So I get those two confused, but they were both very early. And Overeem was on one of the cards. I can't remember.
Yeah, they both basically ended like when the second exchange or something. Yeah.
Yes.
And the third part of that question.
Is it just impossible?
Wait, we didn't even answer the question. We just went over her. We just basically just went over how awesome she is. That's all we said.
Chimaev, I think, is a little different because he broke a UFC record in his first two fights and then fought again like real quickly after that. So it just came out of nowhere. Also, none of us, like, we were talking about it, and I think our former coworker Danny Segura made a good point on Twitter where when people were complaining about how Khamzat was the newcomer or breakthrough fighter of the year for their site, Junkie, as a same as ours, and people were like, oh, it's Kevin Holland, it's Kevin Holland, Kevin Holland. And Danny was like, Kevin Holland's been in the UFC since 2013. I didn't know who Khamzat Chimaev was until he entered the octagon. Yeah. And now all of a sudden he's fighting in main events. So, like, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put Kevin Holland in my top five, because the way it was presented to us was breakthrough fighter / newcomer of the year. That takes Kevin Holland out of the running, in my opinion. Yeah, he's not a newcomer.
I think he made my top five in the sense of where he started and where he ended, but Khamzat was clearly the winner as far as where he started and where he ended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kevin Holland was two or three for me, and Joaquin Buckley was two or three.
Joaquin's up because, there. I could get that. Yeah,
Joaquin Buckley, I mean, he gets knocked out by Kevin Holland, and then his next fight, Kanye West is making music videos off of him. Like, that's like, come on. That was a big jump, too. So, yeah, but I agree. Khamzat was my breakthrough, too. Is this his final one? Yeah. Is it just impossible to figure out and assess how a fighter is going to do when they make their debut in the UFC? After watching the rise of regional fighting scene, does it just depend on how you rate the level of competition in that particular promotion? We expect fighters like Michael Chandler, Manel Cape, and possibly later down the road, Kayla Harrison, make a huge impact in the UFC and become future contenders. I didn't even know who certain fighters were until Casey or Heck mentioned them because of how closely they may have watched that particular fighter and other regional promotions. Well, I think it's
I wouldn't call Bellator a rise in a regional promotion, though. But.
Yeah, I would. I also wouldn't say Manel Cape and Michael Chandler could be contenders down the road. They're contenders now. Especially Manel Cape is a contender because the division is pretty shallow still because they're rebuilding the flyweights, and Manel Cape is awesome. Not 100, I don't think he's going to be champion right away like a lot of people think, but he's clearly top five. Michael Chandler is already a contender. He's beating some phenomenal fighters. Also lost to Will Brooks twice, which looks worse and worse every day. Kayla Harrison's only made 145 once, and she's not even in the UFC. But as far as regional fighters go, I don't know. It just depends on – you just got to pay attention. Like, I knew Casey Kenney, and I saw Casey Kenney. Like, Henry Cejudo, I saw him, like, his first or second MMA fight ever in Arizona. I can't remember. It might have been in Arizona. But that was Henry Cejudo, like, former Olympic gold medalist. Like, he has the kind of the Kayla Harrison rub where you just assume they're going to be good. But I've seen Justin Gaethje and Casey Kenney fight a lot on the regional scene in Arizona and just knew they were going to be phenomenal moving forward. So I think some fighters just have – it, or you know, they come from a good camp, so you kind of focus on them. That's how I've watched fights anyway. Yes, no thoughts?
I don't really pay a lot of attention to the regional scene, so I'm not going to answer.
You also just like, no. You see, like, they come, like, anyone that came from the MMA lab or like Fight Ready in the Arizona regional scene, you just knew they were at least took it seriously. So you kind of pinpointed them to pay attention to.
You know they're quality fighters. Were they going to be championship level, you know, fighters in UFC or Bellator? Who knows? But you know they're obviously trained, very good dudes. Just watch Street Beefs, and I go, oh, this guy goes. I just watch Street Beefs. So that's what I did last night too. Before I watched, even like before the match.
I've never seen Street Beefs ever.
Oh. So
good. I see people tweet. I didn't even like. It wasn't even on my radar until recently.
Dude, what is it?
Their numbers are insane. Their YouTube.
Yeah, that's what I looked at. I'm like, this is. Who was it? They do the weird intro, and then the guy got knocked out like real quickly. Yeah, The first one I ever saw.
Yeah, that kind of went viral and stuff. But they have that now. Maybe thousands. I don't know. At least 1,000 fights up there, and they're all. Jesus. They're all. So, you're so close. It's so cool. And, like. It's so funny, and like they, and you, Street Beefs, it's the best. Savas, get on it.
What is it?
Google Street
Backyard Fighting.
Backyard fighting. But yeah, they have boxing, they have kickboxing, MMA. You know, they have rules of respect. You know, settle the beef. You know, in Satan's backyard. Yeah, good stuff.
Is Dada 5000 making an appearance?
No, it's not. It's not. That's different. It's not. That's different.
Get it right. Oh my god.
This is Street Beefs. Seriously. Another one.
Terrence Leverett. Since no one has had the courage to ask last week, tell us about Cyberpunk 2077. Still chugging away at it. It's very like I got sidetracked a lot, so I've barely done any of the main quest. So I can't answer that. But I've discovered Keanu Reeves' character, and my god, is he bugged out. It's hilarious. Like, watch it. Like, I thought I hadn't run into too many bugs. Oh, I have more enjoyment looking at Keanu Reeves' character just like glitching out than I do playing the game. It's phenomenal. Like, you're in a car. So, without spoiling anything, Keanu Reeves' character is like not physically there, but you can like, you're the only one that can see him. So, like, there's a point where you're sitting in a car and he just like shows up to you. And there's like a meme because he introduces himself at the same way every time. But he's sitting in a car, but it had glitched, so he was outside the car. So the car was going, but he looked like he was sitting on an invisible chair outside of the car, just like levitating around. It was great. It's the buggiest game I've ever played in my life, but it's a lot of fun. There are a lot of complaints about it, but I'm sure they're going to fix it up. It's very reminiscent of Mass Effect Andromeda, where all the complaints they fix down the road. Hopefully, anyway.
Do they just release the game before it's ready, or the game?
So the game's they so massive, had. Well, the problem, I think a lot of people had a lot of like I've never seen a game have higher expectations in my life because it's the same studio that made The Witcher 3, well, all the Witcher games. They had promised the most realistic, expansive city setting in video game history. Like every single NPC was supposed to be its own. Like AI kind of thing. So it wasn't like Skyrim where it was just recycled animations over and over and over the same voices. Not true. It is like every single character bugs out, which is why it takes forever to load because they have to load so many NPCs, but they all glitch out all the time and they get stuck. I'm sure people have seen it. It looks like you're Jesus Christ crucified. They just stand there in the middle of the street with their arms spread out like this because the computer can't load their animations. And that's like the default pose. And they pushed it back three times this year. So it's supposed to be like September and then like October and then November. And then it finally came out. And it's just not done. The studio definitely got pressure from the people making the game definitely got pressure from like the high ups in the studio to get it out for Christmas, but it's 100% not done. It's like, it's a phenomenal base game that they should have taken another year to finish.
Do you think that, I know they came out and said that they were going to offer like refunds to people. Was that justified? Mm-hmm. Like, is it that bad?
I've heard for the PlayStation like for the PlayStation system, I hear it's unplayable at times. Yeah. Same as the desk, the computer too. So PC gaming, but for Xbox, it's been fine. For new generation, apparently it's a lot better. But like, if you bought it for PS, what PlayStation came out? PlayStation 5?
Yeah.
PS4, I guess it's like unplayable. So I couldn't tell you, but from what I've seen online, if it's as bad as the video glitches I've seen, yeah, 100%, they should get all of their money back.
That's wild.
I'm just looking.
It's just not done.
It's so weird. How is that? I feel like, how's that legal?
Yeah.
It's happened so many times, like where games just come out and they're not finished. Like there are points where like I've seen the game where like all of a sudden there's just like a missing piece of the floor. I'm like, oh, they clearly didn't finish coding this one section of the game. Or the thing that people keep pointing out is there is an entirely built monorail system in the game. Like you can go to a train station, you can see the train tracks, but there's no train. Like it never shows up.
Whoa.
And the NPCs that enter the train track, someone followed them. They literally enter the train track, walk down the platform, up and back, and then leave. So it looks like they're getting off and on trains. Like they're just not done with it. I just think they got pressure to put it out in time for the holidays rather than wait and perfect it.
Damn shareholders.
Seriously. Also, the teaser trailer came out 7 years ago. Like that was the first teaser and it was just artwork and people were like, this is going to be the best game of all time. It had such, because again, the Witcher people made it. So they thought it was good. Also, I didn't expect it to be first person when I bought it, but I also didn't really look into it. This is not done. But so if you're going to get it, wait 6 months and then buy it. Cause the first update was like 50 gigs.
Well, Jose, thank you for having the courage to speak about Cyberpunk 2077.
People hate on it. I think it's funny. Also, when you scan certain people, you can see if they've committed crimes, and you can find like, so if you just see a random person walking down the street, you can scan them with your like cybernetic eye, and it will tell you if they committed crimes. And one of the registered crimes is putting pineapple on pizza. Mm. 2 stars. So you can scan an NPC and it was like unlawful use of pizza to pineapple. Like it's real, like official.
Pineapple on pizza is fine. Sweet.
No, it's awful. It's terrible.
If you don't like it, you don't like it. Like, I don't understand. Like if you like people put mushrooms on pizzas. I don't like mushrooms. I'm like, it's still a pizza. I don't get it, man. Why are people hating on other people's pizzas and enjoyment? I don't make fun of it. You're from the city of soup. You understand?
Oh my God. I don't live in the city of soup. I left. It smells too much like soup.
I wonder why.
She traded in her soup for her LA avocado toast. Mm. Joseph Boza, how historic is for the UFC that UFC on ABC 1 is Holloway versus Cater? That is a good main event to debut on ABC. A potential shot at Volkanovski. Could be on the line. UFC on ABC is awesome for people who, it's awesome. Anytime it's a big network shows any sort of mixed martial art, it's great. I don't think Holloway winning is going to get him a shot at Volkanovski again, though.
Isn't this going against the playoff football too?
Don't know.
I think it's going.
It would be the day before, right?
No, I think I read. That's why they're, because ABC is competing against NFL playoffs. Maybe
it makes sense. Doesn't ABC usually have NFL playoffs though?
No, I think I don't watch NFL. What networks?
It's like Fox, NBC, ABC, ESPN are the big ones.
Okay, well,
and the Super Bowl is on a rotation, so it'll be Fox and then like ABC and then NBC, and then like they constantly rotate it every year. So every year it's a different broadcast for the Super Bowl. So one person doesn't monopolize it. That's why whenever the UFC or the Super Bowl was on Fox, the UFC would hold the Fox card the Saturday before wherever the UFC was. So the year it was in Houston was on Fox, so they did Korean Zombie Bermudas in Houston.
And they used to do pay-per-views before, but they started doing just fight nights. Before.
Yeah, Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz was Super Bowl weekend. Because that Super Bowl was in Arizona, and I was going to watch that. Obviously, I was going to watch the Nick Diaz, Anderson Silva, Nick Diaz pay-per-view. But the last minute, they announced the Roots were playing a giant free concert downtown, so I went to see the Roots instead.
Fair enough. How historic is this?
It's, you know,
regular historic.
I will say MMA is not a very accessible sport for people. And it's getting better as far as like, okay, it's on ESPN. You're going to tune into ESPN and you're going to watch the whole card. But before, my God, it was like, okay, Fight Pass, switch to this. And I'm like, I'm freaking lost, dude. Like, I don't know where this is. And now we've got one other place to check to try to find your
another channel. Oh, man.
Like, I don't know. Hopefully we can simplify that in the future. But I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, it's whatever. It's, they were on Fox. Strikeforce was on CBS. EXC was on CBS. You know, we've seen MMA on network TV before. I guess, yeah, cool. It's a good main event.
Yeah. So Saturday's
a fun main event. I don't know what it means as far as
this Saturday's playoffs are on CBS, Fox, and NBC, but I don't know what the next week's schedules are. So, it would be during the divisional round, if I'm not mistaken, because this would be the wild card. But Alex doesn't watch football. Casey, do you watch football?
Okay. Dude, they're building a new football stadium right down the street. I was like, yeah. Oh, that sucks.
No, they're done. I thought they were done. They're done with that stadium, I thought.
I don't know. It's gigantic. Wait. That's why I used to go see Muay Thai fights. But now it's a football stadium.
I can one up you, Casey. I picked a college because they didn't have a football team because I didn't want to have to force myself to go to Saturday morning tailgates at 7 a.m. and then go watch a football game. Nope. Shout out Bradley University. Got rid of the football team in 1970.
The LA Chargers and the LA Rams share the stadium down the road from you, Casey. The Chargers just fired their head coach. They probably have the most coveted head coaching job in all of football, college or NFL right now.
I mean, so hey, if you're out there looking for a job, there's an opening.
Yeah, dog. Send your resume. And the Houston Texans are terrible, and J.J. Watt's going to leave.
I like that J.J. Watt guy.
Everyone likes J.J. Watt. He's basically The Rock if The Rock stayed playing football.
Yeah. He's like a total bro, but like, oh, but you're kind of cool, man. All right,
he is a bro, but like cool when he got married,
he's a cool bro.
I can't remember who he's married to, but he's married to a professional soccer player.
Yeah, she plays for Chicago right now.
Yeah, that's cool. He is very much like when he goes to games, he'll be like so and so's husband on the back of his jersey instead of, you know, like he's very like, yeah, he's great.
He's been very adamant when she's referred to in articles as JJ Watt's wife. He's very adamant to call it out and be like, she has a friggin' name of her own. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So respect JJ.
He's also could have, if he didn't get hurt so much for like those few years, he could be the best defensive player in the history of football.
He's actually really good too. He's not just
He's not just good. He's like generation. He is like when you were next to me when Mookie Betts got traded.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a Texans fan and JJ Watt left, I would cry. He is a generational talent that you don't come across every day.
That's cool. That's good. That's good. Enough. And
when he says
he's a good guy too.
When he retires, he will be as find just as much success in Hollywood if he chooses to go down that path.
He could be like
He could be The Rock. The Rock.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I know. I saw a couple of his skits on when he was on Saturday Night Live. So I was like, oh,
yeah, he's funny. Yeah. He's very well spoken. And I watched when they did the what's that show? Hard Knocks. They did the Texans one year, and he was like going over his like sleep schedule and workout thing. There's like a 500-pound like tire that he's like, my rookie year, I flipped this once. now I flip it 30 times a day or something crazy like that. He sleeps like 12 hours a day. And like, he breaks down, like, you don't sound like you have any sort of fun in your life, but he's hyper dedicated to football. Very nice man too.
Wait, he sleeps 12 hours a day?
Something like that, yeah, at night. Yeah. So, cause like his body to recover, oh, and everything. And so he's weird. Like a rookie's like, oh, I'm going out to dinner. You want to come? He goes, no, I got to go to bed at 8 PM. Like, he's hyper dedicated to his craft.
That's the only way. Yeah. If you're, yeah, you gotta,
and it shows. He's not hurt. He could be the best football player ever. And when the floods in Texas happened, him and Jose Altuve of the Houston Astros did so much for that community that they both went co-athlete of the year for Sports Illustrated. And then when they did the first game back in the stadium in Houston, because that's where a lot of people were like went to escape the floods. He came out and was all emotional and everything. And then he shattered his leg and was out for the whole season.
Why would he do that?
So, well, I don't know, man. Get it together.
JJ, I was just a big fan of you. I just wanted to hold me. Like, just pick me up and carry me around, sir.
And you know who might be better? You know who might be better than him in football? His brother, TJ Watt.
Oof.
Plays for the Steelers. They're both phenomenal. And TJ Watt is probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Is he as adorable as a person? Like,
yes.
Would I want him to hold me?
JJ Watt is built like a triangle. Like, his shoulders are really big, and he has like really like marathon runner legs. And TJ Watt looks like Francis Ngannou. If he was Francis Ngannou's white, he's just a huge muscular man. So it depends on what shape of human being you're looking for.
All right. Good to know. Thank you for your question, Josie Boza.
Look at us talking football.
I'm talking JJ Watt. I'm
talking football.
All right.
I think I owe someone some money for that.
Oh, here. Wait, where is it? Where did that question go? Okay. This is a long question. Enjoy this one.
Prediction time from MMG2K20. Who will all the UFC champions be on January 1st, 2022? So 1 year from now, who will be UFC champion? Man.
Start from the top.
Yeah, start from the top. Heavyweight. Is John Jones going to beat Ngannou, or is John Jones going to beat Stipe?
Yes. John Jones not beating Ngannou.
Yeah, I think John Jones beats both of them. I think John Jones is the best light heavyweight and heavyweight in the world.
Well, we'll see about that one. Let's bookmark this and come back to it.
Yeah, I'm fine with being. I'm also fine being wrong. But
clearly, you're fine with it.
Yeah. Light heavyweight.
John Jones seems to me like I just don't believe he's fighting anymore. He feels like the PFL. It's just a thing people talk about, but I don't actually see.
Yeah, that's a good point. Even if he does become champion, heavyweight champion this year, will it still be by next year? Probably not.
He might be gone. I just don't see. I'll be shocked if John Jones fights next year. Things are stupid.
I think he'll fight once. Maybe twice at the max 2022, because I don't think he'll fight heavyweight until the summer, and then maybe one more at the end of the year. But I think John will be heavyweight champion. Light heavyweight, I have no idea.
Perhaps.
No idea.
Ooh.
Could be Jiří. It very well could be Jiří. It could be Dom. It could be Jan. It could be Izzy. There's so many, because now it's open. We haven't had an open light heavyweight division in like 10 years.
Fight in both divisions?
Middleweight's tricky because it might come down to whether Izzy vacates or not.
No one's gonna
he won't
get beaten, but he might leave the 85 division.
If someone's gonna beat him in middleweight, like, I don't know. Like, Whitaker could be champion if Izzy vacates or he just beats Izzy. I think Whitaker is the best answer outside of Izzy.
Correct. Next.
Welterweight's tough.
Welterweight.
I think Burns. I think because he's going to be an active champ, I think he's going to beat Usman and probably stay up there.
So Burns is going to be ducking Shmaev. Is that why he's going to get it out? Yeah.
Colby Covington would be it. Colby Covington is a good answer too.
Oh, no, I forget about him.
That's a answer. I don't think that's a good answer.
I think if he's, would you be surprised if he's champion January 2022? I wouldn't.
I would. Yes.
He's just like, for what people, whatever you feel about Colby Covington or not, he's a phenomenal fighter. He might just be the second best welterweight in the world, but I would like to see him. I would like to see that rematch against Usman. That was a really good fight. He's a new camp now.
So lightweight. That's vacated.
No
clue.
No idea. We could have three lightweight champions in 1 year. If anything, Conor could win it and then not fight until 2022, and he's just champion still because he never fought him.
Please don't.
Like, he's still the 45 champ.
Yeah. So, like, if say, because that whole, you saw that whole Twitter DM thing, that automated DM thing on Twitter that the UFC's bought. I tried it and I got the exact same, like, tune into the lightweight title fight. But then someone else tried it again and they'd already fixed it. So if Conor wins January and then takes another year off like he did and he's still champion, wouldn't surprise me either. Poirier, Gaethje, all those. There's so many. Featherweight is also tough because Brian Ortega looks really good. But Volkanovski hasn't lost yet in the UFC. Man, I don't know. The only champion I can confidently say will still be champion this time next year if she continues to fight is Amanda Nunes at featherweight, and then she might vacate the bantamweight one. I don't know. Amanda Nunes will have some sort of belt this time next year, I can confidently say. Valentina too, maybe?
Yeah, I think Shevchenko's still there. What about men's flyweight? I think rematch Moreno, and then I think we see a trilogy and goes back to Figueiredo.
I just see these belts being defended so rarely because
I agree.
I think at most two times for each division at most.
Which champion will have the most fights in 2021? That's a different question.
Oh, that's easier. I think it's gonna be one of the smaller weight classes. I think it could be men's flyweight or men's. I'm hoping men's bantamweight. I'm hoping either men's flyweight or men's bantamweight. They have the most because they're not as expensive, and you can have them as co-main events on pay-per-views or main events for fight nights. So
yeah,
that's why
We gotta get that first title fight between Jan and Sterling out of the way, and we still don't have a date for that.
Why not? What's going on?
I don't know. I think if Burns wins, he's gonna want to be active.
Yeah.
All right. Did he actually get sick from COVID?
Who?
Gilbert Burns. Or did it?
July. Oh yeah. Like go read Guillermo's story. He talks about he talks about the symptoms and everything, and he was really sad watching Masvidal Usman or Usman Masvidal because it should have been him. But he's like, honestly, it's a good thing I didn't fight. There's no way I could have fought.
Yeah, I mean, now all this new research coming out, these long-term effects of the virus, especially the people who had symptoms, and so you just hope there's no long-lasting effects on all these guys. Did we cover it all? Yeah.
No, women's strawweight.
Oh, women's strawweight. Ooh, waity. Ms. Zhang should keep it. I think Valentina will only lose to Wei Li if she goes up. I don't think she'll lose to Valentina. I mean, I think Valentina would beat her if Wei Li goes up in weight like Dana wants.
Rose is a tough fight.
Yeah, and of course. Oh,
the second if they Joanna rematch, if that ever happens, it's a tough fight too. Yeah, like a lot of people think Joanna won the first fight.
Okay, but. Either way,
she won. But I'm saying like, there's a lot like if she, Wiley, it depends on who she fights this year, I think. But yeah, she could absolutely like I favor her to have the title. But like, if Rose, Joanna, or anyone else dethrones her, wouldn't be surprised either. Yeah, she's not invincible yet in my mind.
Yeah, and when I say this, I'm thinking like if next year is gonna be a completely normal year where people can just travel internationally freely, but yeah, that's gonna mess up so many things. Ooh, and now now Dana doesn't have his boy in the White House to maybe pull some strings for getting some visas and stuff. You know, that's actually he's gonna create issues, man. So he's made calls.
You're not wrong.
You ain't wrong.
You're not wrong.
So yeah, that, so it's bad for us if we want the cool fights.
All right. Waleed Raed, I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name. Let's say Israel beats Jan for the light heavyweight title. What division would he vacate? I can't see him fighting Glover because that fight wouldn't sell. Maybe he waits for a name like Till or Holland. I don't think Izzy vacates any immediately.
If it's up to Izzy, he would fight on probably almost every pay-per-view, but because now that he's in that top tier money-wise, I mean, everything, like as soon as these guys get to that level, they can fight every week at when they're making, you know, 100,000, 200,000. Once they're making the millions, then all of a sudden they're not fighting as much because it's harder to book them. And UFC has to be much more strategic in how they book it.
I think Izzy's just going to be double. If he beats Jan, because that's still not guaranteed. If he beats Jan, I think they're going to let him hold on to as both of them as long as he wants. It's going to be up to him to vacate. The UFC's not going to strip him.
I also don't think if Izzy beats Jan, then that Glover would be next anyway, unfortunately.
I agree, unfortunately.
It's going to be so weird if just Jan not fighting, or I guess he's fighting Stipe.
No, I think Dana White said that John Jones will fight the winner of Stipe and Francis.
Yeah, so that means John Jones won't be fighting for probably another year until maybe the end of 2021. That is a lot of ring. John Jones is like, he's not like, how old is John
Jones? He's had long breaks.
Yeah, and he came back and looked how we looked against OSP.
It's true.
Yeah. So
then he came back and head kicked Daniel Cormier.
He did, but then something else happened.
It's not a win.
Not a win.
And he smashed up Gustafson on another weird card.
That was weird.
I'm glad Waleed added Holland though, as being like a big name opponent. Like Tiller Holland, like Whitaker's still a card, but who does Chandler fight after he whoops Hooker? I don't think he's gonna whoop him. Like that's a tough fight for both guys.
Does Chandler get a title shot after he beats if he beats Hooker? Convincingly. Or not convincingly. Dude, if you get your arm raised against Hooker, that's convincing enough.
No.
That's so weird how you can be the backup fighter, but then even after a win, you still won't get your title. Like he went farther back in line.
I would say because he's on the same card as Conor Poirier, I would bet the winner of this fight of Chandler Hooker fights. Damn, man, I don't know. Because Gaethje's there, Oliveira's there. I think we can answer this after the Conor Poirier fight or the Poirier McGregor fight. There's no champ.
Yeah, there's no. Rumor is the champ retired. Rumor is. I don't know if there's any documentation of it or did anyone film it.
Because there are six fighters that could fight for the lightweight championship of the world. And I don't think anyone would have complaints. McGregor, Poirier, Chandler, Gaethje, Oliveira, and then I'll even add Hooker because he's part of this. Like any one of those six after Saturday could fight for a championship and no one would you guys complain?
No. Casey's like, yeah, I would complain. Tournament. Just to complain. Just
have a freaking tournament. Have a freaking tournament. God dang it. They're never going to do a tournament.
No, dog.
Nope.
And remember, let's not forget, Connor's already said he wanted to fight RDA too.
Hey, who did RDA just beat? Felder, right?
Felder.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, oh, man, yeah, you got RDA right there too. I don't know.
Makhachev is up there if he ever gets a fight. Is he fighting Dober? If I'm not mistaken, maybe. I don't know. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to beat Hooker first. Because Michael Chandler has been in some bangers and Hooker has been in some bangers. Hooker has the quarantine situation. He has to go back to New Zealand. And for all we know, both could get 6 months medical suspension. So let's not talk about making title fights. This commenter's name is Your Daddy.
Oh, well, I didn't even see the icon.
And just describe the picture first.
It is a scantily clad woman, which appears to be a rubber ball in her mouth, tied to her mouth. There you go. I'm not going to use the words that it is, but yeah.
That must have been an accident somehow. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whoops.
Who should Zabit fight other than Yair? Korean Zombie.
Boom. Next.
Thanks, Mr. Daddy. All right, so...
So Your Daddy or My Daddy? It says Your Daddy.
Well, it's your wait. If I'm hello.
So it's Your Daddy.
Your Daddy?
It's a paradox. It's
My Daddy. Whoa. Whoa. I'm gonna put this one because I do not know the answer, but
Jonathan Ram, given Shamayev video coming out with Kadyrov last week, a person the US has sanctions against. Should Shamayev's visa be revoked and the UFC be blocked from doing business with Shamayev?
I don't know should about that.
Is, yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. They're not going to. They're not going to. That's the answer. This would be a good question for – actually, it's – ask Kareem Zidane on Twitter. He'll give you an answer because he follows this and reports on it all of the time. Yeah, the UFC is not going to do it.
Well, it's like not going to be the UFC's call. It's going to be the U.S. government could revoke.
Because there's been a lot of athletes that I've read about that don't necessarily they might not want to be there or take photos with him, but it's not like it's one of those situations where you can't say no for your own good.
Absolutely.
Like I remember when Mo Salah in the last World Cup. Was the last World Cup? Yeah. He had like, I read that he had like gotten woken up and basically just like taken to him and like had to have dinner with him or breakfast. And he's like, where am I? Like, it looks like he didn't know what was going on. So you can't say no to taking photos with him. So I don't know the situation. I don't know.
Yeah, that's but that is a good question, Mr. Ram.
It is.
And I don't know the answer to that. And yeah, and that's actually going to be up to the US government. If they're going to him, as far as I know, to enforce that, know him. Well, I don't know. This is, you know, when I got into MMA, I was like, you know what? I'm going to study guys' arm bars, what's the Kimura, all this stuff. And now, you know, 12 years later, I got to know a freaking foreign policy. you have to be a foreign policy expert now. Like, it's crazy. I was like, I don't know the answer to that. But
I have a feeling, though, like this is.
It is a serious, it is a real issue, though. Yeah.
It's not going to be like an instant gratification thing. Like, oh, instantly Shamayev can't fight. This is going to be an ongoing thing for a while. We won't hear about it probably for a long time.
Yeah.
He's also not the first fighter to be have a photo taken next to Kadyrov.
Post sanctions, because I know those sanctions got.
All right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
That's why. That's why this question is though now unique. So yeah. Because like Kamaru Usman got in there just in time before the sanctions went in. I think.
He also like Kadyrov has been next to like the UFC, like he's been cage side.
Yep.
And you should talk to UFC staff about that night. It's great. Like they said, he just appeared and just walked in, no ticket, and they were like, and people are like, yeah, good luck telling him he can't come in.
Oh, dude. I was like avoiding eye contact with those people. I was like, dude, I want to make sure I can fly back to America when I was over there. He was there for that.
I thought it was the Moscow card.
No, he was at Habib Poirier.
I think he was also at one of the Moscow St. Petersburg cards.
He was sitting in front row. Dana claimed he didn't know he was there again. Sorry.
Hashtag the A-side. What's the better champ versus champ? Adesanya versus Jan or Horiguchi versus Archuleta?
Well, one's a champ going up divisions. One's just cross-promotional. So there's no difference. Dude. Horiguchi Archuleta. That's
awesome. Horiguchi Pitbull would be bananas, too. Pitbull looks like he can make 135.
I like to see Pitbull go down. Have Pitbull at 35 versus, I don't know, could be anyone.
Yeah. I would say right now, Jan versus Israel, just because, A, that fight is booked, and it's a fighter going up in weight. But both are awesome.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, can't lose to that one.
No wrong answer.
Can't put that question. Someone said I tried too hard being a hipster. Okay. I'll try.
Damn it, Casey.
I'll try.
Everyone loves a try. What did Casey say? Everyone loves a try hard.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm gonna. Oh man, come on. Ask me a question. There we go. What's going on with him?
Lucas Bayford, does Costa make it back to the top, comma, title contention? I mean, he's still in the top five. It's not like he fell out. If Israel Adesanya does vacate the middleweight title for whatever reason, I don't think he is, but if he does, I don't hate Costa versus Whitaker for a vacant title.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just based off rankings, but if they want to do something like it's Whitaker versus fill in the blank. Like, even if it's Israel Adesanya, Robert Whitaker too, if Robert Whitaker fights at middleweight again, it should have some sort of title, interim, vacant, undisputed title on the line. Just my opinion. I'm sure we all agree that Robert Whitaker is the rightful number one contender.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a matter of it being tied up.
Since he's on a win streak, is it crazy to have Whitaker versus Vettori?
I would like to see Vettori versus Till, honestly.
You want... But if Whitaker needs an opponent with a win, I mean, it's kind of weird giving Costa a title shot or interim title shot after that smoking.
You're not wrong. If they want Vettori, like if they make Vettori versus Whitaker, cool. I'm fine with that too. But I like Till Vettori just because they kind of like Till was supposed to fight Hermanson and then Vettori stepped in, won, and then they kind of seemed to matchmake that themselves on Twitter for the. The European middleweight title. Brunson, if Holland knocks out Brunson and goes 6-fight win streak, like I wouldn't hate him fighting Robert Whitaker either.
No,
Whitaker's already beaten Brunson, so I don't think that fight would happen. And then Costa's there too. So yeah, middleweight's awesome. It should be fill in the blank versus Robert Whitaker for something. Yeah.
Doesn't Robert Whitaker have the most wholesome social media accounts? Like his Twitter.
It's up there. Way up there.
It's just
easily top 5 pound for pound most wholesome social media presences in the world.
It's the cutest.
Also, his countdowns are also adorable when his kids will have the matching singlets and they're like doing the head rolls. Ron Swanson, the real Ron Swanson. What happens to Chandler if he loses? Still top 10. Eddie Alvarez lost his first, his UFC debut, too. He won the championship.
Yeah.
I think it'll be
fun. I think it just sucks for Chandler on a personal level.
Yeah. He doesn't get half his paycheck, and that's awful.
Yeah.
I also think it depends on how he loses, if he loses. Like, Eddie Alvarez, that fight against Cowboy, he's going to get smoked. Like, that was a close fight.
Yeah.
Like, remember when he got him in that clinch and just had, like, 10 blows?
He was about to finish that fight and like within the first couple of minutes. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he lost and then he rattled off. The good thing about lightweight is it has so many big names that Chandler's always because Eddie lost and then he beat Gil, Pettis. Who else did he beat? Do you have to win three to get the title fight? Gaethje. Gaethje was after.
Gaethje was after. Oh, yeah, you're right. I remember Eddie had to go into Russell mode. I think it was Gil.
He blew his eye up against Gil, remember?
Yeah, Gil.
Because he blew his nose.
Yeah.
When he fought Pettis, I don't think he just wanted to stand with Pettis. Yeah, so then he beat Gil and Pettis back-to-back splits and then beat RDA on Fight Pass. So I think it just depends on if and how he loses.
Yeah.
Man, he had no easy fights, did he?
Who?
Eddie.
No.
Cowboy, Gill, Pettis, RDA, Connor, Poirier, Gaethje, Poirier. Goddamn.
You know,
that's like Anthony Pettis' run, too.
When RDA had got booked against Alvarez, that kind of felt like when Andrade got booked against Zhang.
Wiley.
Yeah. It was kind of like one of those, right. I guess so, you know, sure. You know, the time. Remember, it was a fight night. It was a fight pass card. It was like a free, yeah. You know.
It was the, that was the three title fights in 3 days. Or three title fights or three cards. So, because it was like Eddie RDA, Joanna, Claudia 2, and then it was the Aldo McGregor show. If I remember correctly. No, wait, that was July? Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
It all blends together for me.
Last question.
Alex, that's you want to read this one then?
Would Jake Paul beat Ngannou? Come on, Rich. I think we all know
the answer. My real question is, why is the P in Jake Paul the only thing uppercased in all of this?
I'm not even gonna this question.
You put it up.
I know. All right. Last one.
I saw Jake Paul selling his house so he can focus on fighting.
Yeah, he's moving to Texas. Or he didn't say where he's moving, but he's leaving California.
Jake Paul is?
Yeah, he's selling his mansion in Calabasas.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you're all friends with Andreas when he was on the A side and he covers box. We cover boxing if it's like a big fight or like it was an MMA cross promotion type thing. Like Andreas actually covers boxing. Like he studies it, watches it. He's been doing it for a long time. When he was on the A side, he's like, Jake Paul has a good jab. Like he works on it. Like he actually takes it seriously. So the fact that he's like, I wasn't surprised he beat Nate Robinson's a better athlete. Jake Paul is actually trains all of the time and has a very good jab for someone of his level of fighting. Like he has you take everyone else that's like what 2-0, 1-0 at thing. Jake Paul has a very good jab that will shock a lot of people when you get in there with them. So Jake Paul, I think his shenanigans overshadow how seriously he takes boxing and how much time he's putting into it. Will he be the champion? No. Will he beat Connor? No. But if he fights people that are 2-0, 1-0, 3-0, whatever it is, I think he could do something. But he's not going to be champion. I also just think people underestimate how good he is at boxing for a man of who's had so few fights.
Yeah, I don't doubt that he's got actual talent. Him or his brother, like, yeah, they're obviously good at what they do, which just they just happen to be clowns on YouTube, and that's why nobody takes them seriously. But also, like, celebrity boxing is, like, it's not a new concept. It wasn't invented by the Paul brothers.
Yeah, but it's just instead of celebrity boxing, now it's YouTube. YouTube personalities.
Influencer
combat. That's what it's gonna be. That's gonna be the next 5-6 years. It's gonna be just big Instagram stars fighting them, transitioning and fighting in other sports. I mean, fighting in other whatever, like doing. What is he doing YouTube? I don't get it. When you say YouTube personality, what does he do? I don't.
Like, shenanigans.
Like Jackass videos and stuff. Like
videos, pranks. Spend a lot of money. Like I'm gonna buy a pool and fill it with jelly beans and jump into it because it looks fun. Like stuff like that. Just tomfoolery.
Cool.
Dude, a millennial that has a lot of disposable income that makes his disposable income from doing said tomfoolery. So he just keeps trying to one-up himself.
I mean, I know he's making money off this, but
cool. Making a lot of money. Watch my 666 in the YouTube comment. What was GSP's big announcement? Budweiser, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Teamed up with beer.
Yeah. Or was it non-alcoholic or hard seltzer type thing? Yeah.
A non-alcoholic seltzer? Isn't it just seltzer?
But it tastes like Budweiser or something. Bud Light. I don't know.
Wait, you pay for that?
It was not what you expected, if that answers your question.
No, I did not think GSP's big announcement was going to be non-alcoholic seltzer tasting Bud Light. But it's 2021, new year.
All right. Last question, because we're at the hour mark.
Jack Attack MMA. Does Jones have legitimate plans to debut at heavyweight? And if so, why the holdup? Yes, and he's getting – yes, he's definitely going to debut at heavyweight. I think it will be this year. And if you follow his Instagram, he's taking his – like, John Jones does everything calculated. He's not just going to – he doesn't want to be a light heavyweight that just doesn't cut weight. Like, he wants – like, he said 4 years if he moves up to heavyweight, he's going to take time to become – make his body an actual heavyweight fighter. He's not going to be like Israel Adesanya, who doesn't want to cut weight. He's just like Israel when he fights Jan, it's just going to be a middleweight that's not cutting weight. Or like I think Ryan Bader for his first few heavyweight fights, that's what he was. He was a light heavyweight that just wasn't cutting weight. And then eventually he kind of his body just became a heavyweight fighter because he'd stopped cutting weight for so long. And then you saw it was extremely hard for him to get back to 205. So yes, he will. He's just taking his time to get his body ready for the heavyweight division because those cats hit very hard.
Why
that is a hold up? Money too. Money too.
Money. If Mr. Dana White threw a whole bunch of money at John Jones, John Jones will fight tomorrow evening.
It's like, yeah,
you throw enough.
Dana White is all. Dana White's also said he's fighting the winner of Miocic versus Ngannou 2. So that fight has to happen first. Can't debut if you don't have a fight.
Any chance he doesn't debut for a title fight? He just fights a fight?
No. Don't think so. Unless Izzy decides he wants to go fight
him.
A heavyweight.
They would have to pay him like championship money to fight.
Yeah. Unless for whatever dumb reason, Izzy decides he wants to fight at heavyweight too. And he's like, oh, I'm going to fight John. I'm going to beat him. Get a third belt. Like that would be nonsense because then you would be holding up three divisions. Don't do that. But yes, John will debut at heavyweight, but it'll be for a title. Unless Brock Lesnar shows back up. But we're not going to talk about that.
So we mentioned Hamzat. We got Connor talk. And we even got Brock Lesnar talk. So we covered it. We covered our headline.
When's Ronda going to rematch?
Hey, what about Bob Arum? Bob Arum. Oscar De La Hoya.
Anyway, that's the music. That's been this episode. This Tuesday episode for the A-Side Live Chat. That's Alex. That's Casey there in lovely overcast LA. I'm going to start my trek to quarantining tomorrow. Alex is going to be holding the fort down while I'm driving again, but we'll be back until next. Hopefully we're back next week. We'll let you know when we get our actual fight week schedule for the Fight Island trips, but stay locked in on the MMA Fighting's YouTube channel for all sorts of fun content. Until then, we're out.
Watch New Japan.